The Very Serious Crafts podcast is on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/seriouscrafts to support our podcast, find out about our Patreon half-stitched episodes, and more.
Hello, and welcome to Season 5, Episode 5 of the Very Serious Crafts podcast. I'm Molly from Wild Olive.
And I'm Haley from Red Handled Scissors and the Bones and Bobbins podcast. Today, we'll be talking about making teeny tiny things.
Yes, I thought, like, instantly, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini, but, like, for crafts.
Oh, and now it's going to be stuck in my head for the foreseeable future.
Apologies to everyone listening. It was just right there.
Oh, I did know some history on that song, but now I have forgotten that history.
Oh,
that's
man.
Really too bad, because I usually have such random bits of fact.
Well, if it comes to mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it will at the least opportune time.
Yeah, like 3 days from now, in the wee hours of the morning.
Absolutely. Well, the wee hours of the morning are in fact what got me started on thinking about miniatures broadly, because I have been falling down insomnia rabbit holes of extremely intricate dollhouses and miniatures for said dollhouses. To be clear, I don't make dollhouses. I don't have a dollhouse.
But you could. Just...
Shh. Okay. I have thoughts.
Before you place your order for your dollhouse, we need to thank our lovely Patreon friends.
Yes. That is very true. So we would like to give a shout out to our new very serious friend of the Very Serious Crafts podcast, who is supporting us on Patreon.com/seriouscrafts. Many thanks to Christine. You're the best. And also, Christine is my middle name. So you are especially fancy, although mine is with a K, not a C.
All right.
Yes.
But however you spell it, and I mean, I know how you spell it, Christine, because I've seen how you spell it, but we like you and thank you.
Yes, welcome.
I'm really excited about this topic. I was very
I'm glad.
When I saw that your suggestion for this, I was like, ooh, yes, I'm ready to talk about this.
I specifically, the rabbit hole I have been down recently, and I feel like, I can't honestly remember which podcast I have mentioned this on before, because I have a creepy crafty one also. But I may have mentioned this in when we talked about building kits at some point.
Yeah.
But the a Southern Gothic Dollhouse Instagram account is my favorite thing. Oh my goodness. It is exactly what it sounds like. It's a creepy, haunted, but also beautiful, like Victorian-ish dollhouse set very much in the South. And it is, the detail work is staggering.
I
am so impressed.
Have you, okay, what is the one that you have been taking in?
All right, I just dropped it in the show notes.
Appropriately, Southern Gothic Dollhouse.
Mm-hmm. It is definitely that. But it's, I think it is, and I could be wrong since I do not make miniatures, but it seems to me like making well-appointed, like, non-aged miniatures is difficult enough, but making things look lived in and kind of creepy and kind of broken down requires an entirely different skill set. And it's just really cool. And
you weren't joking when you said creepy. We're talking about stuff like where there's like luminescent blood spatter that you can find. This is incredible. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
It is quite something. So it's a rabbit hole I can fall down just for hours, days, months. But sometimes the woman, and I'm trying to remember if I actually know or if her name is public.
Is it Lauren P. Dodge?
Yes. Yes, it is.
There we go.
That is who it is. Anyway, she is awesome. And I am, like, she posts in process videos and stories and stuff when she's trying out new techniques and things like that. And there was one that involved a skeleton in a bathtub that... A bathtub that was a swamp, basically. Not, like, gory, just, like, nature had come in. And it is so cool. And so if you aren't the kind of person who wants to see mini crime scenes and stuff like that, this probably isn't for you if that would spook you or make you not feel great. But I am just so impressed by everything that she makes. The detail is stunning, and I am obsessed. There's also a rather creepy cat sitting on a couch that if you flip through the photos, you will find out why it's creepy.
Okay.
And
it's... I think I saw it, but I didn't flip through.
If you look at the next photo, you will find that it is a preserved cat.
Oh, okay. Cool. Yeah.
So, anyway, I think that's really cool. I also am really into a slightly less dark, but still sort of in my general vein of, and that's the Instagram account Letty's Dollhouse, which I will also link in the show notes. And she does a lot of, like, scientific setups, botanical setups, just really interesting. Like, I really like office supplies and also science items, and she does a beautiful, beautiful job. And one of the items, or one of the projects that I especially think is cool, is just an overwhelmingly large stack of perfectly produced teeny tiny historic letters.
Oh, cool.
And I will also link to that because it's just awesome. But, like,
the vibes,
the detail,
the vibes between these two accounts is very different. But
also weirdly similar.
Exactly. I mean, just like
it's like the non creepy version.
I am very smitten by the shelves of preserved butterflies under glass cloches.
Yes, that is also a thing that I am quite smitten with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a Victorian conservatory, yeah, almost.
Beautiful. And beautiful.
It's just really cool. And so I have been enjoying that, and also an account called My Miniature Abodes, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's more modern. It's very, very teeny tiny.
Mm-hmm. It's like modern farmhouse style things. Okay.
Yeah, and there's like tiny Easter egg dyeing, and
it's like Chip and Joanna's miniature house.
Yeah, that's exactly what it seems like.
But it's so
there's
cute.
A tiny, tiny frog. You know, everybody's grandparents and possibly parents had the ceramic frog that held the like Brillo pad scrubber,
yeah. Yep.
At their sink. They made a tiny one.
Oh my
one.
Goodness. Oh, I see
and
it.
Yes. Isn't it so good? Oh my gosh. I love it so much. And it's just those little bursts of delight.
Yes. Yeah. Or like the miniature dollhouse inside the miniature dollhouse.
That is... I could go down a really, really concerningly deep rabbit hole in that, and my eyes aren't good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
To even attempt it, and yet.
So,
I want to.
Yeah, yeah. The closest I've come is me getting those kits to make the little miniature scenes, which I talked about on the podcast. I guess it was, I think I talked about maybe the end of season 3, I think.
Yeah.
As of this point, so that's now a year and 4 months ago-ish, mm-hmm, and I have made 2 chairs, and I've wallpapered some walls, but the walls are not built yet, so, and the case is built. So I haven't really jumped into that fully. What I've done has been delightful. So I do like that. I keep thinking that I need to pick that up again soon, because lately the thing that I've been doing that is not exactly miniature making, but has had me, this is why I was so excited today, was because I've been thinking about this, because lately my brother collects and builds Japanese model kits. And
oh, cool.
I get to help him with it, and he invites me in to do that. So I do all the little clippings, and he puts all of the pieces together, and we talk and hang out while we do that.
That is so wholesome.
It's wonderful. It's especially like our Sunday afternoon thing. And yeah. So I've been trying to convince him that he should help me with my little miniature model kit, and he's not quite sure about that yet, but I'm going to continue to work on him.
Fair enough.
But yeah, so I've just been thinking about it more, and then when it came up, I was like, I had also recently been reintroduced to someone that makes these little miniature dolls. I feel like I have all of these things that I want to like say, oh, you should see this and you should see that. But like, so one of the things that I love about people who make miniatures is the creativity of using materials in unexpected ways.
Yeah.
So there was on the Southern Gothic Dollhouse one, now I've already forgotten which one it was that I looked at, but there was something where she was using a particular tool or supply for not what you would expect it to be.
Yeah.
I don't know which one it was, but the,
there's a lot of that. In...
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's just because you need
there's
to.
There's a chandelier one. There's a chandelier that she made.
That might have been.
I think incorporates some of the more surprising things.
Yeah.
That,
But so there's a, an artist named Sally Maver, and I actually happen to have, I put her in the my list of links too, but I have this book that my mom gave me like ages ago called Felt Wee Folk. And so she makes most of her stuff out of felt, but then like the heads of these figures are beads, wooden beads, and then she uses acorn caps for their hats. And they're super cute.
Oh, and I love that.
Her book is mostly about making the little dolls themselves, but randomly Instagram showed me one of her posts, and I hadn't followed her before this, but she was making little baskets for these miniature scenes, and she took a wooden bead and then she wrapped yarn around it and then wove through the wrapped yarn to make a woven like teeny tiny basket. And I just saw that, I was like, see, I just don't think that my brain would have gone there. I don't think miniature at this stage of like converting things. She also has things where she was using beads to make flowers on trees, and sometimes they were much bigger beads than you would think, like even like pony beads, but they were perfect for doing these little things. And I look at that and I am kind of in awe of it. It's so different, you know?
Yeah. There's also sort of along the lines of like intricate and creative scene setting. There's an account on another Instagram account called Miniature French World. And it is exactly what it sounds like. Like very rococo, very, very, very frilly.
Yeah.
In like the best of possible ways, but so detailed and so lived in looking. I'm really, really impressed. Like there's a room with a stage staircase that is just kind of breaking my brain. And there's also a very like French court sort of daybed kind of thing. These are all also linked in the show notes because they are very neat.
These are beautiful.
Yeah. So I will toss in a bunch of other links to similarly impressive but different styled Instagram accounts that really showcase like a world of possibilities. I know that there's a mid-century modern dollhouse account that I actually don't have listed here, but I will find it because it's just really cool. And I have a big life thing that is on the horizon, and I feel like I might need to make a creepy dollhouse about it.
I approve of that. I approve of that 100%. I did bring a show and tell when miniatures came up, and I will, obviously, you won't be able to see this, but I will make sure that I get something in the show notes so you can see what I brought. But years ago at local Japanese bookstore, I got this craft book for making miniatures, and it's all in Japanese, but Japanese craft books, if you've never worked with one before, are just filled with really helpful photos, all step by step. So even if you can't read any of the text, you can still follow along. But also Google Translate we'll let you take a picture of it and you can just translate it. And now this book became infinitely more useful to me. But this one has like sections on making miniature foods and making miniature office supplies, including like the cutest little set of markers that I've ever seen. And it's just like, there's like a little miniature paint set that is just like, they're showing how to build the thing out of clay and, you know, cut it all down and then add the paint colors, make a tiny paintbrush, etc. Really, really cute. And I know that this is, like, one of many, many miniature books that you can find in Japanese bookstores. That yeah. It just has a different aesthetic than other things. And it feels, it's not, you know, maybe as, you won't get the same results as, like, these really fancy dollhouse miniaturists, but you also feel like you could follow along and do this. So that's something that's to really
how you get the go skills. For.
Yeah. And this is cool too, because they give ideas for, like, how to use the little miniature things that you've made in different ways. Like, if you weren't building a whole dollhouse, but you wanted to make cute charms for your, you know, this or that, or magnets, or there's a little mobile, just different cute stuff. So I have always just loved this book. I don't think I've actually made anything from it, but I look through it aspirationally. And now that I think about it, I didn't translate the title before I started recording. Let me see if I can do that while we're cool. See if the magic of Google Translate will work with us. See, I happen to have my Google Translate here set to Japanese because that's what you need when you do Japanese model kits.
Oh, well, yeah. That makes complete sense.
It is made from clay and familiar materials. The first miniature craft is the English translation of this. So
that's cute.
Yeah. I'll get an ISBN number and everything.
It's fun. I don't have very steady hands because I take depression and anxiety medication that happens to make my hands less steady.
Yeah.
And so I'm not sure if I could actually make some of these things, but also sometimes just the concentration, like, I can cross-stitch fine.
Yeah.
And so I wonder, I'm sort of tempted to try, I don't know, a little starter project just to see if the concentration helps those particular fine motor skills any. Because the medication isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I need that, so.
You also already have, like, the magnifying glass with the light built in that you use, that you have available for cross stitching, and I would think that that would help just kind of, like, as you're doing miniature work.
I also have the scientific I think they're called extra hands or something.
Okay.
That have, like, the alligator clips,
those ones.
And a magnifying glass attached. Mm-hmm. So you can have something held in place while you work on it.
Nice.
Which is, you know, just basic science surplus store. Oh, it also has a light, I think, that you can adjust, which is cool. So, yeah, I kind of want to try. And I just remembered that you, a few years ago for Christmas, sent me a paper miniature kit of a modern house.
That's true.
And I found it yesterday when I was going through a bunch of stuff in my workspace, and I started it, but I never finished it. And so that might be a nice sort of entrance into.
Yeah, yeah. Very not Southern Gothic style.
No, it goes with my... It must have been the first year of the pandemic because it matches
the Christmas
weird,
tree.
'50s Christmas decor that I still love and have no idea why.
It was a good move to get that. It was fun.
I agree. Not my color palette.
Nope.
But
fun nonetheless.
doesn't seem to have mattered. That's true. Oh my goodness. I think we would be remiss if we did not give a little bit of a shout out to Fairy Gardens.
Yes. Yeah. I've always loved Fairy Gardens. Haven't actually built one other than we have done, you know, a few like little things in with gardens, and as we're recording this, it's almost Easter, and we regularly will make, like, it's like a common thing to make called like a resurrection garden, where you make like a little miniature garden scene with an empty tomb and things, and sometimes that works out well and sometimes it doesn't at all, but adding like live plants into your miniatures, that's pretty fun.
Oh yeah, I mean, we all recall the terrarium craze of the late aughts.
Yes.
Which, frankly, I still very much enjoy.
I'm still all for it, yeah.
Yeah, did you know that when I was a very little kid, my friend Stephanie and I had a fairy club? And
I love it.
We used to... you know how sometimes there are, like, in especially old trees, the root systems make little caves?
Yes. Yeah.
We used to set up little tiny living spaces. We would spend hours and hours making homes for our individual fairy characters, and then we would draw them, and it was really fun. I remember it very fondly, but especially, like, the collecting all of the random natural items that you could make, like, beds and tables and whatever out of in the little cave under the tree roots.
Okay, so fun. Probably around the same age, my friend and I were collecting all of the natural items from around the yards, and we made witch's brew. So... you know,
I feel like we should have swapped.
I think so as well.
I mean, but let's be honest, I was also making potions.
Probably. my neighbor's tree is a catalpa tree, I think. I may be wrong on that.
Do not know what that is.
They have these giant leaves. It's an enormous tree. Really cool. And then the seed pods of this thing were about the size of a golf ball, and you could break them up and have these individual, like, it was like fluffy on the inside and hard on the outside, and they were a delight to break up and mix into things. And my parents absolutely hated when we would make witch's brew, and it has nothing to do with a belief system, but everything to do with that it rotted and stunk, and it was, we would just leave it, and then
oh my gosh,
it was awful.
I'm now looking at this tree, and I do know this tree, and it is a mess.
It's an absolute mess, but we had so much fun with it. But in happier miniature related things that are natural materials, have you seen the artist? He makes what he calls beacorns, and his Instagram name is David M. Bird. He has a really huge following, but basically what he does is he makes these little miniature, like, forest sprites out of acorns and twigs and things.
Ooh.
And then
I just pulled it up.
Yeah. He sets them out in little scenes in the forest, and will often have bird seed out for them or with them and other things for the purpose of attracting wildlife. And then he's set up a camera so that he can take pictures of the wildlife interacting with the miniatures. And it's
I am
magic.
Looking at some of the most adorable interactions of tiny creatures and tiny creatures.
Yeah, and, like, it really looks like they're friends.
Yeah,
it's
so
like, cool. And
the chipmunk.
Yeah. It especially in his Instagram stories, he will share the process when he is working on a new photo shoot. And sometimes none of the wildlife comes to visit his little miniatures. And sometimes they are there. And, like, you can see how he's created some of the shots that you don't always expect. But he's had things where he has let people vote on, should we try and have this happen or that happen? Because he knows how to, like, make a scene before it happens. Oh, my goodness,
the hummingbird one.
They're absolutely wild. But, like, there's ones where he will, like, plant a light in the snow so that it looks like these little miniature acorn creatures, the beacorns, are, like, have encountered some glowing magic in the, you know, in the winter forest. And
I'm right now looking at,
they're all, like, posable, but it's, they're all made out of, like, natural materials. Like,
I want to know how he got the one riding on the mouse.
I think it's, like, I think it was suspended, and then the angle of the photography made it work that way, I think. But it wasn't, like, he doesn't Photoshop these things in place for his photos. It's taken naturally. He'll enhance it. Like, he'll remove, like, a wire line or something. But
sure.
It just, like, every time I see one of his photos, it makes me smile because they're so, it's like stepping into another world. And I think because he has taken his creations and then obviously put them into the natural world, it feels so real because it kind of is.
Yeah. I mean, it's really magical. Like, it feels very much like it has sort of the same warm, fuzzy feeling as my memories of playing fairies outside in the trees.
Yeah.
That is, oh, these are so cool. I'm so glad that you brought this person to my attention. I'm obsessed now.
Yeah, it's, I'm not, like, an outdoors kind of a person.
No, we are a strictly indoor cat podcast.
Yes. But this is, like, the nature-loving part of me apparently awakes when I see these photos. If that makes sense.
How could it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like there's magic afoot.
Yeah.
Like, and it's so clear that they're photos that just are lucky shots at just the right time. Because all wildlife photography is. Like, you can set up whatever you want, and sometimes they will not come.
Yep.
And then sometimes you are a photographer with an entire group of meerkats standing on your head.
Yes.
Because you have saw that. Did I send that to you? Because Jeremy sent it to me last week.
I don't know. I saw it and sent it to my sister, so.
Yep. So we've all been traipsing around the same parts of the internet recently. But I love those sort of wildlife photographer bloopers where all of the sudden they have been part of the scenery for so long that they are just part of the scenery and things will just take a nap on them whatever. And they don't move.
Yeah. And that's like the behind the scenes from this guy. There's occasional moments like that. And it's very fun. I have to say that one of the common things, apart from, like, you know, the felt book that I was looking at and stuff, but all of these, like, miniature artists, one of the things that they really have in common is that you could look at a photo of the things that they have made and it doesn't feel like a crafted miniature. It feels like a real thing. And I mean, obviously it is a real thing, but it feels like.
Yeah. If you didn't know, you might assume that it was just real life, not manufactured scenarios.
It's, It's very delightful.
Yes. There are also one of my favorite, like, sort of extensions of playing fairies was Polly Pockets.
Yes.
And there is an entire world of custom Polly Pockets, and also this artist, a paper artist named Adina Grubb, who did this just amazing, amazing, Beetlejuice Polly Pocket custom paper.
Oh, cool.
Piece that I will also link to, and I believe there's an Addams Family one. Like, there's... I am in awe of the steady hands and the creativity.
Yeah, yeah.
There are also custom plastic ones that, like...
Sure.
An entire rabbit hole on Etsy can be had.
I probably shouldn't go down that rabbit hole right now, but my goodness, I want to. Well, because, like, I've talked about how much I love Animal Crossing, and I know that, yeah, there's definitely Animal Crossing Polly Pocket.
Oh my goodness, there must
be. And it's, yeah, I'm falling. I'm falling right now into...
I thought you might be.
Ah, they're just so cute.
These things,
so
they happen.
Cute.
I have a weird soft spot in my heart for miniature things, which is weird because I don't tend to enjoy things that aren't specifically useful.
Yeah, this is definitely not specifically,
which is weird,
useful.
Because I write cross-stitch books, but that is, which are purely decorative, but, like, the things that I am attracted to invest huge amounts of time,
right.
Like, I enjoy making patterns.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily enjoy the long-term process of making something fiddly.
Right. I will say, though, that's, like, one of the nice things about dollhouses and a lot of, like, the miniature kits is that overall it's a really big project, but you're making small things that you could actually complete that small thing in a short amount of time. So it's...
Yeah,
it's
and
already,
nobody's, like, doing the whole thing all
right.
at once.
It's already, like, broken down into doable chunks, so... you're much more likely to go, you know what, today I'm going to make a chair. And then that's it. So.
Yeah, I just.
Now I want to make tiny Animal Crossing things.
I guess you're going to have to.
Oh, now I'm suddenly remembering this miniature artist that I saw on YouTube. I'm not going to be able to remember who it is, but they have made, like, scenes from video games. So, like, Donkey Kong's treehouse or something, like, and it's it is so cool. Like, they're building more like almost like a set piece but miniature. I'll see if I can track that down to get into the show notes, because I didn't think of it until this very moment, but it's really cool. So and yeah, we probably should start wrapping
so
up
many,
but
yeah, I can say there are so many directions we could take this conversation that I feel like we absolutely could do additional deep dives for future shows.
Yeah.
Or future episodes. Not shows. Just this show.
Yeah. I knew what you meant. We all knew what you meant. It's all good.
But.
Yeah. This was.
I am so excited.
For talking about such teeny tiny things, this was not a tiny episode, and I'm perfectly fine with that.
I feel good about it.
Yeah. I think so.
Okay. Well. Thanks for listening to the Very Serious Crafts podcast. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Serious Crafts and on Facebook at Very Serious Crafts. You can also find show notes and all things Very Serious Crafts at veryseriouscrafts.com. And finally, if you are a fan of the Very Serious Crafts podcast, please leave us a 5-star review on whichever platform you use to listen to podcasts. Because good ratings help us show up in recommendations, which helps more people who love crafting and, you know, friendly banter find us.
Yes. And friendly banter.
Indeed. Okay, friends.
Yeah.
Have a good week.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.